Check, one, two, check. Yeah, that's
working. Your voice warmed up. That's the worst thing about,
yeah. Yeah, well, that, I usually get up and take a hot shower, you know, and then, like, I'll like, sing in the shower, wake everybody up.
What's your go-to song?
Man, I've got a whole playlist called Lung Stretching.
The Lung Stretching.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's like, there's a few songs. Man, let's run through it. I'm like very proud of this little list.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
You can tell a lot about a person by what they sing in the shower.
Oh, yeah. It's It's Raining Men.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Diddy is now singing that.
Yeah, it is.
The man is cooked.
Oh, it's Top of Your Lungs. That's what I call it.
Nice.
Pine Grove.
Okay.
Like the metronome, and then I do Margaret and the Nuclear So-and-Sos, As Tall as Cliffs.
Okay.
Pedro the Lion, Postal Service, obviously. Into It, Over It, Local Natives, Hot Mulligan, Tiger's Jaw, and Manchester Orchestra. You know, just some old shit.
Just some old emo stuff, dude.
Yeah,
I usually do like Steve Winwood's Higher Love. That's a good
one. Ooh, that is a good one.
Bring me the higher love. Oh,
we'll fuck around. We're gonna start another band.
Yeah,
Sons of Beatrice and Aliens vs. Robots back again, baby.
Oh man, the comeback the world didn't know they needed.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes you gotta show them. Sometimes you gotta show them. All right, guys. Hey. Welcome to Rhythm and Wit. I'm Nick Campbell. I'm here with my good buddy, David Steele. And we are also here with JJ Wood, comedian, podcaster, producer, and musician. Guys, welcome JJ Wood.
Hey!
We did it, guys. We did
Which
full
camera
circle.
Am I looking at? That one?
Yeah, that's yours.
That's my camera. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude.
You doing good?
Good.
You always look good. I love your positive attitude.
Thanks, man.
I always have enjoyed that.
I try to keep it going as much as I can.
Yeah.
I loved like your attitude when you like came in today. You're just like, I just did a 3-hour show last night, and I'm here at 9 o'clock in the morning to do this podcast. Dude. You're like, let's go, and I was like, oh man.
Yeah, that's not me. That's the coffee. That was.
Yeah. You're, like, you're ready to go. You came out with the yellow legal pad paper of questions.
If it makes you feel better, I put this together 10 minutes before I got here.
That's what's up, dude. Sometimes that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of podcasts that I've done, like. I've had like a list of like, hey, this is what we're gonna talk about, and then it just goes
right,
like the whole different way. That's how it was with like Cody Troutman.
Oh yeah,
I had like we didn't get into any almost like any of the questions that I wanted to do because he just went off, and it was just so much fun though.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the best way to go about it.
Oh, he's full of knowledge too. Like he's got
so
tidbits.
Knowledge.
Yeah, he's really so focused too.
Mm-hmm.
For being such a goofy bastard, he's like, and a sweet boy. He's a sweet boy.
I love that dude.
Yeah, man, we've known each other for a long time. I kind of wanted to get into that a little bit, kind of your history. You know, I think when did you start? When did you move here?
I moved to Oklahoma City in 2009.
2009?
Right.
What prompted the move?
I was sex trafficked by Diddy.
Oh, were you really? Damn, you got out?
I got out, bro.
You got out?
I wasn't that talented, I guess. They saw no potential in me, bro.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that you got free. I'm glad you're here with us, man.
Thank you.
So, but yeah, you just came out on a lark. You're like, Oklahoma's the place to make it.
Yeah, man. I think like my sister moved up here in like 2000, and after I graduated high school, my mom was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna leave Rio Doso too." And then so she left, and I was like stuck back for a couple years, and I was like, you know what, man? Like, I kind of need something different too. So then I just moved out here, and it was cool, man. At first, I did not like it.
Yeah.
I would say that because I moved here and I was like, God, there's like so many people here. Like, traffic is crazy.
Yeah. No.
And then, like, I stayed here for about 4.5 years. And then I moved to New York City, and I was like, oh, my God, there's even more people here.
Yeah, I forgot
what?
You went to New York.
Yeah, man. No, I remember when you did that. I was like, that guy's brave as hell.
Yeah.
What age were you?
I was so brave. I was so brave.
Yeah, well.
So brave.
That's brave for somebody in Oklahoma.
I was resilient.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, that guy's going to make it.
Yeah. I didn't.
Well, here he is.
You went out there to play
good
music,
to see you back.
You?
Yeah, yeah. I had the dream of being a white reggae singer in New York City, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice.
But it was, I mean, it was cool, dude. Like, a lot of good experiences there, but I think, like, New York, like, I wasn't mature enough to live there at the time. Like, I was still in, like, a party phase. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's, like, not really the place to do that. You know what I mean?
You recorded a whole album there, though, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
That took some work, right?
I did. Yep.
Did you do the open mics there? Did you get shows?
Yeah. No, I did. I had a bunch, did a bunch of different open mics. I ran one for a second up there. Yep. Up in Astoria. And then, I mean, I did some shows here and there. Like, I did a fashion show in Brooklyn.
Huh.
That was a wild
experience. In it?
No, like I performed in it.
Yeah, okay.
And that was one of the most like intense situations. So like it was in Brownsville, Brooklyn, which is like not gentrified.
Mm. Okay.
That's just the best way to put it back. You know, it was very, very like dangerous in that neighborhood. Yeah. And so one of my friends, like, she met me there, and then she texts me. She's like, get here now. She's like, we are the only white people here. And I'm like, oh, sick. I was like, I'm gonna thrive. And I walked up, and it was like, all these dudes are like chilling in front of the bar. And I walk up, I got my guitar case, I got my backpack, and I'm like, hi guys, how's it going? And they're like, oh, hell no, dude. And they just like started going through my shit. They're patting me down, opening my guitar case and stuff. They're like, all right, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the bar owner comes up, he goes, hey, what's up, man? I'm trying to get more people in here. Can you help me out with that? I was like, I don't know. But good times.
So he had you like going out and barking and trying to get people in?
Basically.
Yeah.
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 But that was not the neighborhood for me to do that in by any means, you know.
Oh, look, a Target.
Yeah, not the superstore, dude.
Well, you survived, obviously.
I did.
Yeah, and we're so the music thing, you kind of you kind of stepped away from it though. What made you do that,
man? I think for a while when I moved back, I was, you know, playing bar gigs and hotel gigs and stuff, and with those, like, you got to play, like, you know, 3-hour sets.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, like, you got to play a lot of covers and stuff, and which are fun. It's fun to do.
Yeah.
But for me, I've always wanted to, like, do my stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, tell, like, my story, mm-hmm. sing my songs that I wrote. And you can throw those in through those sets.
Right.
But people want to hear Wagon Wheel. They mm-hmm. want to hear Tyler Childers, they want to hear this stuff, and you're just like, damn. And so some of the gigs that I was playing, you know, I was like using like a loop station as well. Mm-hmm. So I was like very proud of like, yeah, I like made the beat on my guitar.
So you did.
I made
live.
So I made this like whole beat, and then I'm like, man, I really crushed that, and I get done with the song, and then no one's paying attention. Like there's people at the hotel bar just sitting there with their headphones in, just like going away at their computer, and I'm like, fuck. And then they walk up to you with like a $20 bill, like, good job, young man. It's like, I felt like a prostitute. Like,
Which that really sets you up to be a comedian.
Yeah, exactly. So then at a certain point, I was just like, man, like I had kind of dabbled with comedy at that point. Like when I lived in New York, I worked with a lot of aspiring comedians. And then just me just like fucking around, just as I have always done, they're like, dude, that's so funny. Can we use that in one of our jokes? I'm like, yeah, dude, go ahead and do that. Yeah, dude, go ahead and do that. And eventually I was like, I'm going to start writing my own jokes. So I was writing jokes when I lived in New York. But then when I moved here, when I moved back here, I was, you know, hanging out at JJ's Alley a lot. And then people like Lenny Van Horn, Greg Thomas, Zach Ishikawa, and stuff there, and Justin Keithley, they were like, dude, you should like come up to the open mic and do comedy.
You were doing music there, right, for, open mic.
And they're like, you should come do comedy.
Yeah.
And I was like, bet. So I started doing that, and then I just fucked around with it for a couple of years. This started in, like, 2016.
Yeah.
And I just kind of just, like, fucked around, but I wasn't taking it seriously. I was just doing, like, the Tap Works open mic and JJ's Alley.
And it seems like back then it wasn't like it is today, right? Like, with all the different mics. I mean, I felt like there's always been a ton more people these days than there was even back when we were playing music and coming up. I mean, it seemed like there was like, Karen Buchholz and James Nim and them, and, you know, Brad Chad that had been doing it since back then, but that was really it. There was like that small crew. I think comedy's definitely come up a lot since
then. Absolutely. Well, and then it got to the point where I was just like, yeah, you know, I'm just having fun with it. And then Lenny was like, why don't you go to the Loony Bin and then see how you feel?
Yeah.
So I went to the Loony Bin in 2019 and I did a set there and it went so well that I was like, oh my God. I was like, all right, I was like, yeah. I don't want to do comedy. Or I was like, I don't want to do music anymore. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to stick with comedy. And then I started getting more, I started getting booked more as a comedian, started finding more success as a comedian.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it was kind of hard to find success as a reggae singer in Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Well, you were really good. Dude, we had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, man. Yeah. Some of those things.
That when we play at the high-low and then just walk out into the crowd, because that stage was just behind those two walls.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And then you roll out and you just be playing in front of people. That was fun.
I missed the high-low so much, dude. I remember when I first turned 21, my drummer, Kent.
Y'all remember Kent. He's hang out there a lot.
I just turned 21, dude. Like, I didn't know bar etiquette, dude. Yeah. I'm from, like, a fucking small mountain town in New Mexico, dude. No idea what life was.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude's like, I'm going to take you to this really cool spot that we're going to start playing at. And takes me to the high-low on a Saturday night. We walk in, and I'm like, cool. And he goes, hey, I'll be back in like 45 minutes. I got to go pick up my girlfriend. And just left me by myself.
That sounds like it.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then like I kind of like ran into some people that I kind of knew. And I was like, hey. Like, and it ended up being really cool, man. Like, and high-low was one of those places, dude, that you could walk in there and still feel just... Like, you weren't going to be alone.
Right.
You know what I mean? Someone was going to come up and talk to you eventually, and you were going to make a friend.
Yeah.
That's what I miss.
Proximity
about
alone. I mean, there was no space to move. Like,
yeah.
Sure. We were going to make a friend.
Yeah. There's no windows. Yeah. They had two TVs.
Yeah. That's so true. I was a very friendly drunk. I don't know if you remember. But I would blackout on occasion, and I would just stand at the front of the door with the guy who would like have the license, and everybody would came in also got a hug. Like, I don't know, man. That. It wasn't the wisest thing to do, probably, but I was just like, "Hey, how's it going? I'm Nick. Welcome to Hilo." I was like, "Who are you?" I was like, "I'm just a guy.
I'm just a guy
needs a hug."
Had a few happy meals, bro. We're good.
Yeah, dude. But no, it was good. I miss that place a lot, or that type of. Well, I mean the. Punk mentality back then, where it was just like all you could do is just make a poster,
that place right,
and then go out and try to do a show.
Right,
that place was always to me like this place where all these like the weirdos and the kind of, you know, in a good way, as far as like the people I wanted to be around.
Right,
you know, it's like the creative people, the bohemian types, all these, you know, artists and stuff. And I think it was just always the most interesting people to hang out with, and they're always very friendly. Like I said, like you said, they would come up and, you know, start a conversation. You would not. Sit there, you know, if you went there alone, you would not be alone for very long.
Right, exactly.
So what happened? Did Kent ever come back? Or and I've been alone ever since.
Right? And he never came back.
Yeah. Missed that dude.
Yeah. No, he did come back, and it was fun.
Yeah.
I had a good time that night, and then... Yeah, then shit, dude. I met you guys at Midtown Deli, dude. Yeah. Which was what is that, Stella now?
Oh, yeah.
Or what is that place
I think
called?
It's Stella,
Over on, 10th and, over by McNally's.
Yeah,
that's where it is.
Over in the Midtown area.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was thinking about this story this morning, though, and this was, oh, my God, it was so funny. Your CD release show.
Yeah.
Was that Blue Note?
Yeah.
Right? Was it Conspiracies of Angels opened up, right?
Yeah. Because they hosted that mic,
they did,
too.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And... You guys are playing. Joey Stone comes up to me. You guys remember Joey Stone?
Oh,
yeah.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace, my man. But
our biggest fan.
Dude.
He really was.
He showed up with his girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
Tripping balls, bro.
I think I remember that.
And he comes up to me, and he was just like, bro, those dudes' music, me and my girlfriend want to go fuck in the bathroom. And damn. I was like, that is so epic. You know what? So if anything else, with Aliens versus Robots,
oh, God.
Cool, there was no Grammys, nothing. Whatever, dude. That doesn't matter.
That was all the reward.
Some people were tripping balls at a dive bar in Oklahoma City. It went to your CD release show and fornicated in that bathroom.
I got a side story. That's really, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
So, Joey's girl at the time, like, I don't, I get, we got off and we did really good that night. Yeah. It was nuts. Yeah, I actually, that's where Liz saw me for the first time. Mm-hmm. And this is why I say this. It's like, you're one of the reasons why me and my wife are together.
She used to hang out at Midtown Deli, right?
Yeah, she hung out at Midtown Deli. She also, like, worked with one of your friends that was going to come see the show. So she, like, invited her, and then they came out, and then they saw us. And then I did that joke where I was like, I sell all these EPs tonight.
Yeah.
I'm taking off my clothes. And my mom was sitting there with all the EPs.
Oh, shit.
And she was like, that's my baby. And so Liz was like, if your mom loves you that much, you're a good guy. Oh, yeah. You know? And so she was like, I wanted to see who he is. But this is before me and Liz were together, you know? So so I get off the stage. I'm like, we did killer. I'm amazing, you know? Like,
right.
And I went over, and I didn't notice that Joey Stone, that was his girlfriend.
Right? Uh-huh.
So I went over, and she was like looking at, you know, giving me the eyes, like looking, you know. I was like, all right, what up? Let's go shoot a shot, you know. And I went over, kind of, it's like, hey man, and I whispered, and he's like, hey, you look really good. Do you want to like grab a drink? And she just like giggled, like, you know. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go over here. I didn't realize she was high as fuck.
Yeah, dude, yeah, clicks in
they
the
were
place.
Tripping
yeah,
out.
I was like, okay, all right, that was manufactured. Okay, good. That, go, Joey.
Oh, yeah, man.
No, he would like dance really hard. He knew all our songs. He invited me over to like jam with him over stuff. Yeah. Yeah, he was a really good musician.
Dude, he was a fun dude to hang out with, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, I've had a lot of wild stories with that dude, man. Yeah, I remember. Goddamn, dude, this was so crazy. I was introducing him to another bass player. He needed a bass player for his band. And he goes, well, can that dude party? And I was like, I don't know, man, but we'll find out. So we decided, we're like, hey,
give him a test,
I'm going to introduce you. And like Joey was a big partier.
Yeah,
you know
was.
What I mean? That dude could throw down. So we go in with the OG Four Locos, bro.
Hell yeah.
So we go into this dude's apartment. And like this poor dude, bless his heart, man. He was already like, he was like drinking like Ciroc orange by himself in that apartment. So he was already kind of drunk. And Joey's like, what's up, man? All right, initiation. We're going to see who can drink the Four Loko the fastest. Right? So we're going, this kid is like, he gets like a sip in. He's like, ugh. Just like basically dies. I got like halfway through. Joey, who's like, you know, big ex-football player and shit, just slams the shit down and goes, yeah! And I was like, all right. I was like, I'm the only one that didn't throw up, dude. Yeah.
You won, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what you won, but you won it.
I'm alive.
Another Four Locos?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
God, those OG Four Locos, bro.
Yeah, they were the real deal, man. That was the heart killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could party for a long time. It was. I think that was the drink after Jaeger Bombs. You know, like Jaeger Bombs were that for us whenever we were younger.
Yeah. It was like that Red Bull and whatever.
Be up till like 6 o'clock in the morning going, like, why can't I sleep? It's like, well, you had four Red Bulls, dude. Yeah.
I can't do that.
Surprise yourself. No, not at all. No. Not with these eating habits. But yeah, man, so you did music for a long time. You made the switch. Do you feel like what did you learn in music that's helped you or gave you kind of like a foothold or like kind of a little bit of an advantage doing comedy?
Mic control.
Nice.
Good one. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a lot of comics that they don't really know how to hold the microphone.
Or like just how to like
You know, still many people want to like just like cut the thing and it's like stop it.
Yeah.
That also just I don't know, just being comfortable on say having like a stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
Like I grew up doing like musical theater and shit like my whole life. So like I've never had a problem with stage fright.
Yeah. Like nerves and
No. I mean I also get like nerves and stuff like that, but
just
definitely
more sudden just not wanting to fuck up probably.
Right. But it's like it's really easy. Like I'm really into like meditation and stuff like that. So like nice like breathing exercises and stuff like that, like right before I go on. Like really just kinda like centers me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I mean, just crowd control as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when you played music, in between songs, you'd have something to say or jokes?
As most bands do. You know what I mean?
Get a little bit of banter going.
Yeah,
you should anyway. That's the thing is I've seen tons of bands that don't do that, and you're like, okay. And, you know, it's like they're just quiet in between songs.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
imagine going to see Under imagine go seeing, like, Under Oath or something like that, and they said not one joke throughout that entire show. Like, what the
fuck.
And being disappointed.
Yeah, I came here to watch Avenged Sevenfold, and they never said one funny thing. Not once. I did not enjoy that concert. I would have rather heard Backcountry a million times.
Well, that's because their music is a joke. All right, here we go.
I love Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh, my bad, dude. My bad. My bad. I meant Ben Folds. I meant Ben Folds. Sorry.
That dude sucks. I'm just kidding.
Rocking the suburbs. Yeah, all right. So where were we? Yeah, man. So doing the music, doing comedy, you know, I'm sure, unlike music, you know, where you're like, okay, I'm going to prepare at home. Mm-hmm. I'm going to practice at home. I'm going to be here. And then you go take it out to an open mic.
Right.
And then, you know, for the most part, you can kind of gauge a reaction of what you're going to get. Comedy's way different.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take it. You go, I don't know if this is funny. Let me go see if it's funny. And then you got to either it is funny. And you try it like 10 times to find that out, and 7 times it works. Mm-hmm. Or you go up and you eat a bag of dicks. What was the transition there? Like when you went up for the first expectation, you know, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Man, the first time, the first like couple times I did comedy, like at an open mic, I did pretty good.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then I just sucked for a very long time after that.
Yeah.
But
did anybody tell you that was part of the process?
No.
So you just see, that's the hard part for me. No. You just were like, all right, man, let's keep rolling. Let's keep grinding this out.
Yeah. I've gotten to the point now though to where like I don't care if I bomb at an open mic. That's what open mics are for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I've always said like, or they've always said like, a strong bomb is better than a weak kill. You know what I mean? Like when I go and like... if I bomb at an open mic doing a new joke that I'm like, oh, let's just see if this works. And it doesn't work, I'm like, all right. Yeah. I'm like, it doesn't like bug me as much as it used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just kind of goes with like time.
But yeah, I think it is. And like you said, the expectation. I think if you go up to do a show and you bomb, that's like bad because it's like you should be been preparing and you know, you're not wanting to try out new stuff at a show.
Right.
You use the stuff that works.
There is nothing worse
than
bombing like a show. I remember the first time I went to the Tulsa Bricktown.
Oh, yeah.
One, I had a stressful travel day, so I was already a little stressed.
Mm-hmm.
I was running, like, late on my terms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like to get there, like, an hour early, you know? So I'm just, like, a little, like, discombobulated a little bit, you know? But, like, finally, like, cool, all right, I'm ready to go. And I get up on stage, and the set's, like, going decently. And I'm like, you know what? I've been doing this four-minute bit at this open mic that's been crushing for the last couple weeks. Let's bust this out.
Yeah.
And it sucked. Like, it did not. And I was like, oh, my God. And I didn't know how to, like, get out of it. So I was like, I just got to continue on with this story, dude.
Yeah.
And it was the longest 4 minutes of my life, dude. I was like, oh, my God, this is awful. Like, but then you look at it, like, everyone still bombs. I watched Sam Morrell bomb on, like, not, like, the entire show.
Right. But like, I've watched bits don't work.
He's like, oh, all right, cool, that didn't work. And then it's like, ah, it doesn't really faze him as much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I like going, you know, that was almost bad. that's why I like going to the shows at the comedy club and watching these people. Because a lot of the times, these headliners, like, they don't really go to open mics. They're going, like, they're busting out their notebook on stage. I'm like, well, let's just figure this out. Namish Patel, I went and watched him. That dude's like, yeah, guys, like, I just found out, like, you know, 3 days ago I'm doing a Netflix special, so I'm going to start. And I'm, like, watching him, like, kind of go through his notes. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing.
That's cool.
I'm not seeing this guy, like, structured. You know what I mean? I'm not seeing, like, this well-polished set. I'm watching, like, I'm looking at the skeleton of this thing.
Process.
Oh, my God, that is so fucking cool. Yeah. And that's, like, and when you, like, watch that enough, eventually you're like, it's okay. Like, I don't, that's why, like, I don't feel as bad when I bomb anymore.
Yeah, well, you can compartmentalize it a little bit now. Once you've done a few of them and you're like, okay, like, there's different versions of kind of bombing. Like, you can, this joke bombed.
Right.
The rest of the set was good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or, like, a show sets you up for, like, a perfect situation, but an open mic, sometimes you can't even trust the bomb. You know, you're like, all right, well, let me try again and see if this is really not doing well.
Yeah, right. You have to do it in front of lots of different audiences because you could do a joke that, you know, is probably a good joke, but nobody laughs because that audience just doesn't like that material or whatever that subject is.
Yeah, yeah. Or that night was off and everybody was just quiet. Or maybe, you know, Diddy got incarcerated, so everybody sat, you know?
Yeah. Like.
But, yeah, that's definitely... I thought it was interesting watching people, the like the headliners at Blue Whale, and like like Jeffrey Asmus is
that, yeah, that dude.
Yeah. He like a lot of hit, and his style is very, he knows like he's probably not gonna hit every joke, I think. So it's like, but he was bombing a lot of jokes because it was like, you know, he was trying stuff out and seeing if it would work on the crowd, and they hated it, so it's like whatever. But you could see him like get hit with these like kind of disappointment when a joke didn't work, but then he would just wipe it off and go to the next one. You know?
Or he had a save.
Yeah.
He would have something that he would say.
And he would like make fun of the situation even. And it's like, well, that didn't work, you know? And it's like, I think that's the best thing to do in those situations is just keep rolling with the, you know, whatever happens.
Well, and a lot of the times, like some of these headliners that come through, like, they have their core audience that's going to laugh at just anything that they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's why, so like, it's September. So last month I did a show back in Rudo. So it was a benefit show.
Yeah.
Just trying to help the town recover from the big fires and stuff. But it was the first time I did like a 45 minute set, and there's over 200 people there that came to see me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so cool.
Family and friends.
That they were going to laugh at any. Yeah. I could have like bent over and tied my shoe. And they were like, oh, he's so funny. He doesn't know about the bunny ear method. But I was like, okay, cool. So now I have this tape that I go back and I watch just about every day. Of like, okay, this joke kind of fell flat a little bit. How can I make that better? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just it's just kind of nice to have.
Yeah.
Like, you can gauge, like, those big crowds like that.
That sense, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, okay, it does. Okay. It makes
definitely,
sense.
Because you can't.
Coffee hasn't, like, kicked in on me yet, dude. Like,
yeah, no, that's cool, because you don't get those opportunities to even do that very often for that large of a crowd. Mm-hmm. And, like, so it's definitely important to have that kind of reference to look at.
Well, even on the rough nights, like even on nights like, you know, you've been to Bricktown where you've got like a decent sized crowd, you know, 30 to 40 people.
Right.
But nobody's laughing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a tough night.
Yeah.
And so you get up there and then you work your jokes and then you only get a few laughs and you're like, oh, that's where the strong parts are.
Right.
And then so it shows you where you're strong and where you're weak on those nights. So it's all data collecting.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's all just like, okay, well, this works here. This works with this person. I can talk to this person when this happens.
That's always what I think. I mean, it's so weird because I've been thinking about magic a lot. Not that, you know, in the different.
Like Magic the Gathering?
Doing magic, magician, like John Shack magic. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like on stage magic. And comedy, because there's so many similarities to those in weird ways. But magic is very much like this. You have to, when you go up to someone to do a trick, you have to kind of go through your head, like, what is going to work on this person, you know?
Right.
And it's the same thing with comedy. You know, I think you have to, like, you can't just tell one joke to 100 people. You know, it's like you have to tell 100 different jokes to 100 different people almost. And it takes so long to get to that point to where you can figure that out in the fly, you know.
Right.
And you just have to do it for years and years and do it in front of hundreds of people or thousands of people, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. It out. It's like sometimes like you like for the longest time I was always like, I'm not going to blame the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to be able to make every crowd laugh. And sometimes it's just not it.
Yeah.
Dude, I was hosting this hot wings eating contest last night.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Bro. And like, so in between, like while they're like eating the wings, they have like a minute to eat these wings. I was like, I'm just going to fuck with the crowd a little bit, you know? And just like, kind of like, hey, how are y'all doing? You know, just do like hosting shit. And I looked over at this dude. I was like, what's up, bro? What's your name? He goes, I was like, you don't know what your name is? He goes, nah. I was like, all right, that's one way to tell us that you got warrants. But it's, yeah, sometimes, like, people are weird, and they just, like, don't, like, want to engage.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you just kind of move. I did that. There was, like, two older people up front, you know? There was, like, you know, it's like, probably 70s. And they were sitting there, and they weren't together, but they were, you know, and they were right up front. And it was during an open mic, which is super weird. But I was like, hey, you know, I was doing a joke, and I basically was going to call them deviants, you know. And so I was like, hey, to the woman, I was like, what year did you graduate high school? She's like, I don't know if I really want to say that. I was like, that's cool, sir. And like you just make that little transition, and then like we had fun, and I was like, "See, you could have had fun too, but you didn't want to say anything."
Right. That's great.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, just play with. I mean, it's just like talking, having a conversation with people.
Yeah,
you know? That's all. And that's it really all like is. Really comedy.
That's what you told me when we first started. Yeah, you're like, just have a conversation, dude. Yeah, that's all it is.
Well, and that's something that I still like struggle with some days. It's like when I'm on stage, not feeling like I'm reciting lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
they're not making like the audience feel like I'm just reciting lines. You know what I mean? Like they want to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You want to make it like they're having a conversation with a fucking lunatic. Yeah. And that lunatic is me.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I like that.
And so, I mean, it's like Cat Williams has said, it's like people think that like, oh, wow, he just came up with this like off the cuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like, yeah, that does happen. But he's like, no, he's like, I've worked on that shit for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've practiced that to like, you know, you get these sets down, like these 5 minute, 10 minute sets down to where like you can just do them in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have dreams of doing sets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is terrifying sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
are you in your underwear doing it?
No, but Diddy's there.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, whenever you're doing sets in my head, you're in your underwear. All
right. Diddy's there. Drake's my cousin. I'm like, what is happening? I don't like this. I don't like this. I wake up and I call my friend. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
I had a dream that Drake's my cousin again. He goes, that's because people were getting shot outside of your apartment again. I'm like, no! Why have you forsaken me?
I'm glad you're here, bud. I'm glad every day I see you, I'm like, oh, he's safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm it's so brave. So you say you work at the club. I mean, you've been able to work, get yourself into the club. You become kind of a regular there to open, and, you know, you put in the work. And so what are some of your favorite comedians that you've had a chance to work with?
Kyle Kinane was dope.
Oh, sick.
He was a cool dude.
I saw that. That was a good show, man. Yeah. Yeah, you did great.
Who else? Josh Blue was great. Pablo Francisco was cool, too.
Yeah. He was one of my favorites back in the Comedy Central Presents days.
Yeah. No, it was really cool, man. Like, I mean, I spent, like, 4 nights with that dude.
Yeah.
And so, like, him and I would just have, like, really cool conversations in the back. We actually watched the Cat Williams, Shannon Sharpe interview.
Did you? Really? Yeah. Nice. Do you guys, like, run around? Or you show them around town or anything?
It just kind of
like
depends.
That?
Like, sometimes, like, a lot of the headliners just kind of, like, keep to themselves and hang out in the hotel room or just kind of do their own thing.
That makes sense.
But sometimes they do. I mean, I haven't done any of that yet. Like, hung out with them outside of the club. But, no, let's see. Who else? Dude, honestly, I haven't worked with anyone yet that I was like, oh, they sucked.
Yeah.
Like, everyone that I've worked with so far has been like, super, super cool.
Yeah. It's like you kind of have to be to get to that level, I think, in a lot of ways. It's like you can't really be being a good person or a nice person goes a long way, I think. I mean, that's kind of what almost necessary to be decent to people and at least to – because I'm sure that's not always the case, but – yeah, I think that's awesome.
It's always better to be a good coworker.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's like anytime I've met like a big celebrity, and granted, like there are some celebrities I've met that like, just fucking suck, you know. But you meet someone like, dude, I met the drummer of Shinedown. He was at my bar top one night and super nice guy, but it was like when you meet these guys, you like feel this sense of like, wow, man, like, this dude is living his dream. Like, this dude dreamed of being where he's at today. And it's like, this dude succeeded. And then you could just feel the gratitude coming off of them. You know what I mean? Like, they're just so calm and just like, hey, man, like, just really, like, grateful to be you know?
Especially because you knew who he was, so you went up and said, hey, I just wanted to say you like his stuff or whatever. That's what I think. I mean, that's... I'm sure in all of our cases that may have happened a few times here and there when someone you don't know comes up and tells you how much they like your stuff or whatever.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's like always a good feeling. I mean, that's all what you know, we're always looking for, right?
It happens to me, like, it's been happening to me, like, a lot lately where people were like, hey, man, like, we saw you open up for so-and-so. And I'm like, that's so cool, man. Thank you. Like, hey, bro, you know where to get any weed? Yeah. I'm like, God!
You got me again, motherfucker.
Damn it! Damn it! You ever get that? Like, you get these messages where people, like, message you. They're like, bro, I haven't talked to you in so long, dude. It's so cool. I've been following you.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing so great, man. I'm like, dude, thank you so much. Like, hey, bro, can you go buy us some weed? Like, God, damn you! Damn it! That's
I get the same thing, but with electrical work. They'll be like, hey, do you think you can help us out? Like, I'm going to charge you. the exact same. I'm not giving you any benefits. Like, yeah. Unless I see you at a show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Every show you come to, that's a percent off.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're at every show, though. Yeah.
Well, last night, a good, like, something that I've been around Dave my whole life, and I consider that my whole life, but he's... Last night, it's been a while since I've seen him play some music.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I forgot this Dave. I forgot about this Dave, dude. He's up there jamming. Just like, I was like, all right. And then he got off. I was like, dude. And they put this band together in like 4 weeks. Yeah, how many songs do you guys play?
It's like 11 or 10. We did 10
and all of them clean. Not really. I mean, I didn't hear any mess ups. Yeah. You said you did twice or something.
There's just parts. I mean, because Josh's songs are pretty simple for the most part, but he does have some complicated progressions and or weird kind of bridges and stuff, and those always trip me up. And just having to learn 10 songs or 11 songs in, like, we've probably been practicing them for a couple of months, but still, that's a lot, and I get them mixed up, you know?
Yeah, well, that drummer was different. He was there only for, like, what, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, we had 2 rehearsals with him.
Yeah.
That's Josh's dad that played with us. But he's, like, old. I mean, he's a music teacher, old school. I mean, he's been playing for freaking longer than we've been alive.
Yeah, but you could see whenever I went and told Dave, I was like, hey, man, that was really, because I was excited. I was like, man, that was really crazy. 4 weeks you guys put that together. Yeah. And you were like, Ultimately, man.
Just dusting off.
Like I said, I was like, I felt like we did great, but I also think that I just know I'm gonna do better next time because I just didn't have as much time as I wanted to get as good as I wanted to. So
yeah, and then Pineapple Willows did great.
Yeah, they're
too,
amazing.
Man. It was cool to put all of it together. Mm-hmm. I wanted to put a show together, Jokes and Jams, I want to put my worlds together.
Right.
And then it was a good thing because like the story behind it was like, he and 2 other guys in the other band were in a band called Stolen Cable. Mm-hmm. So it was like this cool little reunion. And then I was on stage again with, shared a stage with Dave.
Yeah.
And then awesome. Dave Branch was up there. And he was on I Wrestled a Bear once. And then Cameron Buchholz does 100.5 The Cat.
Yeah.
And Ashley Watson's Crazy. So like, so it all worked out. It was just like a fun show.
Yeah, everyone did good. Like the comics, it's like it was like a lot of crowd work because I think that you kind of need to do. I mean, the crowd wasn't that big, so I mean, but they it was great as far as
they were engaged,
Cameron
though. People were listening.
And Ashley both did a lot of like just fuck with the audience, which was the bands.
But I really like that show you do at Put a Cork in It. Like, I went last one you did, where just like the bucket
improv
thing,
stuff,
or just having the audience like tell you shit.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, those are fun, dude. Because that's like honestly, like that's what I do when I'm at the bar. Like, I'm not like a mic grinder. Like, I'm not like at every single mic every single night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't do that.
You're kind of,
But, like, where I really can get good practice in is just at the bar top, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I just work, like, I bartend, like, 2, maybe 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And I could just sit there and just fuck with people.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Kinda
and
where you get
I can run bits by them. Like, anytime someone's like, oh, you're a comedian, why don't you tell us your best joke? And I'm like, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, just stick around here for a second.
Yeah.
Like,
talk
I'm going
to
say some funny shit, you know? And then, and that's where I kind of, like, practice, like, doing my bits like as a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I love
that. Well,
I think
within, I mean, I've been doing it for 2 years now, and you said, I think you're at 4, right? 4 years?
5 years.
So I start, okay. So that makes sense because you were doing it 3 whenever I started.
Yeah.
Even in that, like the first, I mean, within this past year, I've noticed that you've like got more conversational.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of improvement that you've made here, is I've just been like, dang, man, I know this guy.
Damn, I wish other comedy clubs would notice that.
Yeah, come on, guys, get on the JJ train.
Yeah. No, I need to put myself out there more for sure.
Yeah, well, so that's how do you book? What do you do? How do you get in the clubs? What's your process?
Man, I mean. The club with like Bark Entertainment in Bricktown, like I've been there since like they opened
they
that club,
you
know? Mm-hmm. But I've also just, I've had to work like really hard to get there. And they just, they'll send me like emails like quarterly of just like, hey, this is who we're booking for or whatever. Or some like a last minute thing, like who's available? They send like a mass email to everyone, you know? But other than that, man, like I haven't really done like a lot of other clubs. Like I've done like the Hyenas in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of those were like someone rented it out
and
then
you can rent them out.
Yeah, you can rent them out.
Really? How much is it?
Oh, you I'm know? Not sure.
Dude, that might be the move.
Like, yeah. Yeah. But you can, like, rent out, like, if you go to, like, the Fort Worth, that was my favorite one. You can rent out the hyenas there. Mm-hmm. It's, like, holds, like, 75 people. Mm-hmm. And it is so dope. Like, nice. And the Fort Worth crowd is sick, bro.
Yeah.
Like, any, like, comedian that I've talked to that's, like, from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, they're like, bro, you go to, like, the Fort Worth and hyenas. Or the hyenas in Fort Worth. Yeah, coffee's not yet kicked in. Words hard. The hyenas in Fort Worth, bro, like they're like, that will make you want to quit your day job.
Yeah.
Like you'll walk out that club being like, I'm about to call my boss right now, be like, fuck you. Like,
I'm gonna find out about that. I'm gonna find out about it.
Yeah, no, you can like rent it out.
Yeah. Cool. But you always seem like, even when we were younger and you were doing music, you were really good at networking. And I think that comes across like when you're at the bar top too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it. I think it naturally, you've always been funny. Naturally, you've always been like nice to talk to, fun to talk to. And then you kind of just take that and you try to put it on stage.
Right.
And then try to be comfortable enough to bring yourself out.
Right.
But you've always been a networking kind of guy. What, I mean, is that something that comes natural? Do you think about it? Or it's just like, all right, I'm in this place. I'm going to make things happen. Like,
oh, man, I don't know. I think it's just like the vibe that I put off, man. Like, I think just, I mean, growing up in, like, Rio Doso, everyone is friendly with each other. Mm-hmm. Or for the most part. You know what I mean? Like just when I was there last month. Yeah, it's a small town. Everyone's kind and friendly. And that's just kind of how I grew up. You know what I mean? Like, everyone knew everyone, you know? So when I moved here, I just tried to be a good person, tried not to suck.
Because Oklahoma is like the big small town.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I don't know, man. I've always just tried to put out the energy, like being someone that someone can come up and talk to. And sometimes it sucks. Because there's sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to talk to this person, bro. Like, God, dude.
We had that joke about that magician who came up to you, tried to show a magic trick to you.
God, fuck that dude. God damn it.
Dude, that one's good. I dig that one.
Yeah. But it's kind of benefited me in a way to where, like, back when I was, like, producing shows and stuff, every single venue that I had come up to me because of, like, the connections from so-and-so or so. Like, it's weird. Like, I mean, when we were playing music together, we were in all these venues. We were doing all kinds of different shit. Like, we've been doing this for years. Like, people know us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like, true.
Just locally, too. Yeah, I mean, I think people watch us. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you put stuff online, and I think for most musicians, even, this happens, right? Like, you put your stuff out there and you do it for a long time, even for a couple of years. And it's like, you feel like you're not getting anywhere, but it's like, people are noticing it, you know, people see you, they might not, but it's like you said, even the people that matter are seeing it too, you know,
right.
They might not, you might not know it, but, and then one day they will, you know, it's like, you'll get those opportunities, I think.
Well, it's like, I think I've also like, I've been in like that Midtown scene back in like the Midtown Deli days, and I was in like the Paseo scene, you know what I mean, and like that Uptown scene and stuff. So I have like all these people know me, you know what I mean.
Well, and you stayed consistently in it. Yeah, you know, I think you only moved to, how long were you in New York?
A year and a half.
Yeah, and then you came back.
Right.
So like you didn't, I mean, your pause wasn't that long, and when you came back it was like, oh, he's back, you know, this New York's attitude, you know, like he's got some music.
He hates homeless people.
Even more now.
Now Oklahoma is caught up with you. That's
God, dude. Yeah.
But I mean, you did that, and I took a little bit of a break because I had kids and stuff.
Yeah,
but I was watching kind of see, you know, because I was watching from Facebook. Yeah. I was like, oh, fucking look at JJ. Mm-hmm. You know, look at him go. And then you came back, and then I saw some comedy stuff. I was like, all right, that's different, you know? Yeah. But I mean, I always kind of kept up with you, you know? And Zach Baker and and that crew, you know? I think Ben Brazil, I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, I remember Ben.
He's a good dude. Yeah. But everybody still kind of stuck with music was still, you know? I think Zach Baker was in the same boat as you, as he was doing covers and like hotels and stuff like that. But then he had a kid. I think he's like taking his break now.
Yeah,
he'll be back, dude.
Honestly, he was my neighbor for a little bit. I think he moved.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. Gotcha.
I'd see him every now and again.
Yeah.
It's like it's a lot of these musicians that we used to play with. It's like, what happened to them? You know, obviously they have kids and do that stuff like that. But it's like, it's definitely a much different music scene than when we were growing up, just with the people in it.
Do you think it's better? Or
music scene? Yeah. I don't know, man. I've heard like weird things about like the music scene's kind of been up and down. I've heard different things. Like, there's not really that many places to like perform as much, you know. That's why like I'm a big fan of like White Rabbit. White Rabbit is like Paul is really doing some good things over there, man. Like he's doing live shows every weekend.
Well, you're doing your open mic there too.
Open mic there on Thursdays and stuff. Yeah,
that's its own grind.
Don't worry, guys. I am sticking around. No kids over here. I am team celibate. I'm team celibate now. There is an STD breakout in the OKC Metro. I will not be involved in this.
Is there?
Apparently.
Okay.
I don't know.
Man,
I don't know
see, that's why I love that I got married.
Yeah.
It's like I miss all that stuff.
No, you're not in the streets. The streets are treacherous, Nick.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. I'm not on Tinder. I've never had to mess around. I made a Tinder profile or a Plenty of Fish profile a long time ago. You remember that? That was it. And this is how friendly I am. I went out with this girl. She was super nice, but we didn't click. And I was like, well, we'll just be friends forever. And so, like, I've watched her. I mean, we'll message, like, hey, man, how you been? I see you had a kid. You know, beautiful family. You got a husband. I've known her for 10 years. It's the same thing at the Hilo. There was this girl there that I was just – we're standing in line at Hilo. And then, you know, you just stand in line. There's 20 people around you.
Start talking
and I was just talking to her. I was like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, yeah, I've never seen you here. She's like, oh, yeah, da-da-da. So we're kind of talking. She's like, yeah, I'm from out of here. I'm from Montana or some shit, you know. And she's like – I was like, well, what's up? I'm in this band. Why don't you hit me up, you know, friend us on the band thing. And then we did. And then later, so I just know her now. So we just like keep in touch. She like runs this like hippie commune thing. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on.
But she seems
there.
Happy. You know what I'm saying?
And she's good for you.
Environmentalist. It's just like, okay, well, I just now know this person forever. You know?
Like, dude, I had like, I'll tell you like my worst, one of my worst Tinder date stories. I was on this Tinder date. I took this girl to the bar. We're hanging out. We're chilling. We're vibing. And then one of my buddies comes up. He's hanging out too. And we end up, like, the bar shuts down. We go back over to his place to just continue to drink and have a good time, right? Well, okay, here's the thing about my friend. This dude had a huge dick. Okay? And not like, it's just one of those things. Yeah. You know,
some
like,
people are blessed.
You know when like guys are like, oh, I got a big dick. And you're like, yeah, dude, you're rocking a baby carrot, Kyle. Like, shut the fuck up. Dude. Everyone knows it. When you start hearing other girls like talking about him while he's not around, they're like, oh, yeah, dude, that guy Max, dude, that dude's cock is huge. And you're like, fucking, you get like, here's your, I just like, no ditty, dude, but I'm like, I got to see how big this is. one night, it's like, last call at the bar, and I'm going to a single stall bathroom, and he goes in. He's like, bro, he's like, we got to get out of here, man, hold on. And he's like, let's pee together. And I was like, cool. And I just and like this dude, like, he looks back over to me, and he has this like look in his face, like he knows. He's like, he's like packing huge cock in a world that doesn't understand, you know?
And like, what a poor guy.
So regardless, I knew, I was like, this dude's packing heat, bro. Yeah. Like, much respect to you, my guy. We go back to this dude's place, and like, you know, he goes to bed, and I was like, oh, word. So like, I kind of like slide over to the girl, and I'm like, what up? And she goes, oh, I'm good. I was like, all right, cool. So I just went, I just passed out on the couch, you know. I wake up the next day, she's in his room. And I was like, I can't even be mad about it. Yeah, I was like, he was just going through a breakup, dude. Yeah. Like, he needed a rebound. I just missed my shot. He caught the rebound. It's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you
got to
do that.
You got to. Yeah. You know? And the thing is like, his life is hard.
It was hard.
You can't, you cannot get through life and know who truly loves you when you have a big dick. That's why I'm glad I don't.
Exactly. Here's where it gets better. So she gets out, and I was like, all right, well, I'm about to call an Uber and get out of here. And she's like, yeah. It's like, don't worry. He said that he could take me back home and stuff. And then he gets out of his bedroom. He goes, oh, yeah, about that. he's like, I got to go to the airport. I'm flying out to Denver. So see y'all later. And just dipped.
Yeah.
What?
And I was like, fuck.
Big dick
and
energy.
So she was just sitting there like, she looks back at me, and I was like, oh, fine. I was like, I got you. So, like, get in the lift. We take her all the way to her house on the south side. And then I was living way on the north side afterwards. So I had to take her south side, north side. So we drop her off. She goes, man, it was so great last night. Like, it was so much fun. I mean, we can hang out again soon. And I was like, yeah, yeah, totally cool. Have a good night. Shut the door. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And like, and the girl that was driving was just like, damn, what was up with that? I was like, man, I was like, took that girl on a date last night, and then she fucked my friend. She goes, damn, dog. That sucks. And she like gave me a cigarette. I didn't even smoke. So like, I took that cigarette.
You need this.
Oh, dude, that shit was funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, man. So like Midtown days.
Yeah.
Midtown days. That point in my life is very blurry, you know, but yeah, I think honestly, that was a lot of fun. I mean,
oh man,
so it's pretty much the same process as like you walk in, you as a musician, you showcase your stuff, and then sometimes you hope there's other musicians there, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe somebody who makes a show, and then mm-hmm. maybe they kind of put you on something,
right?
And it's also the only way to practice,
mm-hmm.
right? I think it was me, you, Dave, John. On occasion, I try to get out there, but you know. I was chasing girls. But it was like, who else was there? Conspiracy of Angels, Zach Baker,
Joey Stone.
Joey Stone was there.
Yeah. Joey Stone met me on the way that him and I like connected was it was like right after my 21st birthday. Mm-hmm. So it was like the first Midtown Deli open mic after I turned 21.
Yeah, I
don't.
There.
That's good.
Yeah, I think I remember that but, night because you. It was specifically you were turning 21. I mean, it was.
Yeah, people were out for my liver, dude.
Yeah.
It was a good time. But Joey was like, fuck yeah, dude. This guy's like hammered and he's playing Sublime. I like this dude.
Yeah.
That place had like some wild, like they had some like their own infused like fruit or whatever that mm-hmm. they would use for the cocktails and stuff like that. Like I just remember getting hammered every time mm-hmm. we went there.
Oh yeah.
No matter what. There's just some strong drinks.
There was some cool man, there was a lot of people. It's crazy when you see like a lot of these people as you were saying, like people that you like grow up with in like a music scene or even like the comedy scene mm-hmm. that just like
disappear.
Eventually they just like, man, just don't do it anymore. And you're like, fuck, you were so good.
I get it, like, though, because it's such a tough thing to keep up with. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so discouraging. I feel like I was just talking to someone last night about, like, we put so much work and energy and money into producing shows and trying to do this stuff, and we get almost nothing out of it. I mean, as far as monetary,
it's a labor of love for sure.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we do get a lot out of it mm-hmm. in other ways, of course, but it's tough and it's hard. I feel like I don't blame anyone for just being like, I gotta stop, you know. I mean, really, it sucks though, because I think that we do need more people that are committed to building up the scene here and making it something that we're. We can maybe actually make some money off of doing this stuff and entertaining people, but
right,
yeah.
As long as like you're still having fun with it, like that's how I was telling like a buddy of mine in Chicago. Cause he'll hit me up and ask like stuff about like joke writing and stuff like that, or and I was like, man, I was like, just have fun,
mm-hmm.
just keep having fun with it.
Yeah,
like, the moment that you're not having fun with it anymore, what's the point of doing it?
Yeah,
like you're like there's that. Like comedy and music as well. Like it's a business. There's business aspects mm-hmm. to it. You know what I mean? But all that aside, the moment you walk on stage, you got that microphone, it's fun time.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Whether what the point? What are we doing here?
It's like you're doing a 4-minute set or a 45-minute set, dude. In that time frame, you're there to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, that's what it's all about at the end, you know? And then making, that's the biggest thing I love about just being an artist in general is like you're making other people like happy or you're making them forget about their shitty life for a second. Or the thing with like comedy and stuff, and that's why I've been trying to like write more about like struggles, you know, mm-hmm. friends passing away and all this different shit, because if you can find a way to make that funny, well, there's someone else in that audience that's like going through the same shit,
exactly,
and they're like, wow, like I was like really sad about it, but now I could like find some sort of humor and make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what our job is as artists.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's beautiful, man. Sure. That's beautiful.
I think that's
but you've been producing shows, I mean, since music and then now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are some of the biggest challenges and how do you try to overcome them?
Oof. Getting people there.
Yeah. that's the hardest part.
That's a big one, man. I think with producing shows, I mean, there's just so much to it. That's why I don't do it as much anymore, man. Like, kudos to you. You're doing a great job doing what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. It's,
like,
it's tough. But
you know, it's like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of, like, it's a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you got to run that like a business. You know what I mean? Like, you got to put in hours of work on just putting one show up. You know, it's like, promoting and going like, what's going on in Del City Facebook pages or some shit like that. You know what I mean? And you like post shit. Hey guys, like we're doing this. Like come out. It's just trying to get people to come to these shows. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to get people. And that's the problem with OKC right now. Is a lot of people are always like, there's nothing to do here. It's all done. I'm like, you're hanging out doing the same thing, the same people, same days,
same bars.
Regardless, dude, you're doing the same shit. Branch out. Do something different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why it's so cool that OKC's growing with, like, different concepts of, like, different things that are opening up. I love it. It's great. But, man, there's live entertainment as well. Mm-hmm. There's great music venues with great local bands coming up. There's great... dive bars and with decent comedians coming up. Like, you know, there's so much more to do, but how that's the challenge right now for me is how do you get those people out? Mm-hmm. How do you reach those people?
How do you get them inspired to even want to leave? Right. Spend the money on a babysitter, save up some money. You know, I think that part. What I see is one, it's better than it used to be when we were growing up.
Yeah.
It was better than the band days because it was almost impossible and you didn't have. Facebook wasn't the utility that it is now.
Right.
So you would just like show up, you put a flyer out, you go tell a few people. I'd text all my friends, I'd cold call people and then back then. And then I would go up and then you'd be like, "All right, good. We got 10. That's good."
Yeah. Right. right.
And now it's like I try to use all the same stuff. I'll cold call businesses and I'll be like, "Hey, how you guys here's a couple free tickets and then can I put a flyer up in your place and all your people are invited and I'll shout you out if you show up." You know, and it's like, even then that, you know, you might get like three people.
Right.
You know, and do that 20 times.
Right. It's like that is like that. That's like the OG way of doing it. That's like the putting up flyers on like street lights and stuff. And
I miss that. I used to like doing that.
Dude, it's so great. And like some people are still doing that.
Yeah.
But it's like now you're battling the algorithm. Mm-hmm. And like as we're speaking that right now, I forgot I had needed to like post this thing. Like you got to find like the right time to post something. It's like you're in a constant battle with the algorithm now, and it is complete ass. Oh shit! Sorry guys, multitasking here. All right, yeah, you gotta like find like a certain way, like a certain time to post with like certain keywords in your captions, you know, or a certain hashtag to do your thing. And it's like, oh my god, dude! I was like, why can't I just like post this and everyone see it and it be successful?
Well, it used to go out to all your fans, like everybody who followed you, and now you have to pay money to reach them, and then you got to pay more money to get outside that circle.
And it's fucking stupid. Fuck you, Zuckerberg.
Yeah,
for real.
Fuck you. No, for real.
Like,
don't turn off my account.
I think a part of it is trying to find, because there are definitely people out there that want to be entertained and want to find these shows. It's like, how do we connect to those people? I think it's weeding through, because there's tons of people, I think, in Oklahoma that just want to stay home and don't really care. That's fine, you know? But I think that they're, I don't know, it's just got to be a better way to get the word out for... Like, because we don't even have, like, the Gazette anymore, you know, stuff like that.
Is that not a thing anymore?
No. Mm-hmm. No? I don't do the Gazette. Because that was great, because you could turn to the back, and then it gave a list of everything like that was coming out that
Everyone knew they could go if they wanted to find the local listings, you know.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't really exist anymore.
That's one of the reasons why we started this and doing, like, showcasing, highlighting creatives and stuff, because it's like there's nowhere to go anymore to even find. Remember Rocklahoma or Oklahoma Rock?
Oklahoma Rock. Yeah. I think that was Ryan LaCroix's thing back before he's on the radio and worked for KSU and stuff, doing local music stuff. But he started that. But those are the kind of people that inspired me growing up watching those, like him and Jarvix, you know, all these people that do this.
Jarvix is great.
That's James Nim and like I talk about all the time. But that's why I do this, because I watch them do, you know. It's like we need more of us that are willing to put in this work to even showcase other artists and other creative.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you guys are doing this awesome. And I love the fact that you guys are going to the arts festivals. You're going to Blue Whale Comedy Festival and stuff. And you guys are just like trying to show people who are sitting at home scrolling through their phone. That's the problem right now. Mm-hmm. We're, like back in the day, I remember when I had a Razor phone. You know what I mean? I was booking shows off of a Razor phone,
trying
to
check your email.
Yeah. Dude, and it's like now, and that's like my biggest problem right now is I am trying to like quit checking my phone as much.
Right.
Yeah.
I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb 95% of the day.
Yeah.
you know, and I, it's just because I'm constantly just up on my phone.
Yeah.
And then like I start scrolling through shit, that I go down a deep rabbit hole, and then depending on what subject I'm looking at, is gonna affect my mood for the next like 2-3 hours.
That's
and I'm
true.
Like,
oh.
That's why, like, I mean, even like before shows and stuff, like I'm not scrolling through Twitter or anything like that. Because like, Twitter is just fucking wild, dude. There's people getting shot, and then there's fucking people I know's buttholes popping up, and I'm like, whoa! And I like text them, I'm like, yo, I just saw your butthole on Twitter. They're like,
thanks, man.
My butthole.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Your brand new bleach job, dude. And I'm like, fucking, that's crazy, dude. Two weeks?
Show me. No, I had to get off of X. I had to get off of Twitter because I was like, this isn't even real.
Yeah, that's
cool. It's.
But no, everything is tied to this. Like my business, I run my whole business off of this. And then you have to do it to be a comedian, you have to fuck with it. Mm-hmm. You have to mess with it. You have to try to get reels out. Mm-hmm. You have to try to get views because that's the only physical proof you can go somewhere and be like, look, I've got 10,000 followers in your area.
That's it.
I can probably sell about 100 tickets, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you got proof, you know, it's like the same thing. If I'm a business, I can prove how much I make to a bank and borrow money. It's the same thing. It's like, hey, I'm borrowing your.
Goodwill,
basically. Yeah,
right.
Appreciate
well,
that.
It's like you get a lot of these people that, you know, got famous on TikTok like throughout the pandemic and stuff, and a lot of them never did comedy before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they got millions of followers off of just doing some weird ass character
like
that they
had. But it's a proven concept at that point because it's like when you have millions of people that love this one idea or whatever it is.
Well, it's like you said, it's their audience. Yeah. So now they're coming up and they're doing shows for people who want to see them and are going to laugh at them tying their shoe.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. You know? Sometimes, like, I mean, a lot of these people that got famous on TikTok, they're like, wait, we can do comedy clubs?
Yeah.
And, you know, start selling. And they're selling out these arenas, or not arenas, but they're selling out comedy clubs. And they, like, they don't really know, like, the art of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
And those are the people I want to open for.
Yeah, for real.
Because none of us know what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you can get in. Like, you got to find a way in.
It is, man. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I just.
But I like your attitude of, like, find the fun. Enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
Be ready for when it's time.
Oh, like, yeah.
That kind of. I mean, you're always grinding. You're always working.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that about you, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You're doing good. I mean, the White Rabbit, the open mic that you're doing with Paul.
Tall Paul, baby.
Tall Paul. Dude, love you, Paul. Love you, man. I love that place. Yeah, I helped work on that when it first started.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had to pass the job off to my buddy because it was a little bit bigger than I can manage at the time.
Right, right.
But it was fun talking to Paul about what he was going to do with the place and doing the, you know, the coffee bar and everything. And then seeing it now to where it is and you bringing the old Midtown vibe to it. I was up there, I think. It might have been last time or the time before that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was last time. There was this musician, and we were both like, damn, dude. It's like, this feels like Midtown days, you know? Just one guy with a guitar, electric, just going off and killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And, I love that you're bringing that back.
Oh, man. I just want to, like, dude, that's all I really wanted to do is just help. I want to give people stage time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to help people grow. And that was the one thing when I was, like, producing shows and stuff, dude. It's like, I'd put someone on the lineup that I was like, all right, they're going to be a killer. Like, this is going to be good. But then I was like, I want to help the people out that are putting in the work that I'm seeing that are like, they're hitting the mics up. Like, they're actually, like, they're at the club. They're like writing. They're like trying to like get better at it. I'm like, I want to give you guys a chance to like spread your legs a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know? No. Spread your legs
like,
a little
I was like, yes. Spread your legs. Okay. Yeah. Let's get there. So we know the impetus of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. What was the term I'm looking for? Got it so early in the morning. Spread your wings a little bit. Not your legs.
Spread your legs.
Spread your legs a little bit.
Yeah.
And shit on stage. God,
that was beautiful. Thank you for that.
No doubt.
But yeah, spread your legs a little bit.
Spread your legs a little bit.
And
God, that's going to be a funny clip. That's going to be the most controversial clip of this whole thing.
Yeah.
We're going to be like, oh, damn, dude. Like,
The controversy surrounding JJ.
Yeah, but you know how important it is to get 10 minutes.
Yeah.
To even know what it feels like. Mm-hmm.
To be able to get.
And then after you get 30, and then you're like, 5 minutes ain't shit.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Anytime someone's like, can you just do 5 minutes? I'm like, that's it.
They're not even going to know who I am. Yeah, like, I won't even be able to introduce myself.
Right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to help, man. I just wanted to give people stage time and get better. If you were taking it seriously, I wanted to help you out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was like my whole mission on doing that for a little bit. And, but also like, yeah, getting my stage time in and, you know, getting better at what I was doing. And, you know, I always look at like comedy and stuff and like basketball analogies. I'm a big Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant fan. I grew up watching those dudes, their mentality of just always just staying ready for things. Like I've had to do that like multiple times. I've gotten calls like, hey, can you be here in like 10 minutes? And I'm like, yeah, let me put pants on. Be right there. You know? I've gotten those calls before. And I've gotten to open for like really cool acts. You know what I mean? But shit, there was one time I was just sitting at the bar at the comedy club just working on a joke. And then they're like, hey, you have 5 minutes to get ready. And I was like, threw a chicken wing down. I was like, let's go.
Is this because somebody didn't show up? Or they're just,
But like, yeah, sometimes there's just available. Like miscommunications. Yeah. Always like, dude, like throughout the days, like if there's like a one-off show or something like that happening, like I'm not doing shit. Like I'm not smoking. I'm not tripping on mushrooms. I'm waiting.
Right.
And after like 6:30, I'm like, they don't need me.
Yeah, you know the cutoff.
Eat these shrooms.
Hey, it's about
but you
to
make yourself
weird.
Available, and you even live like 5 seconds away.
Yeah.
You're like
yeah.
walking distance, yeah. right?
Yeah. 6 seconds.
Six. I'm a little bit fatter. Yeah. Takes me a little longer.
No, man, I'm very grateful for just honestly just everything that I've gotten so far. Anything that I have coming up, like any show that I get on, dude, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I'm grateful. It's easy to scroll through social media. Another reason why I just like try not to get on it as much is like you see someone, you like it deep down, you get excited. You're like, fuck yeah, dude, that's so dope. But there's also a part of you that I'm trying to kill that is just like, but why didn't I get that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what made them? Blah, blah. And it's just like, I'm like, oh, I don't like that side of it.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And so I'm just like, I just can't get on that.
I think that thing creeps up. I mean, it does it for me. And I mean, I don't honor it. You know? I'm just like, why are you here?
Yeah,
you know, but it does. It exists. I think it exists in everybody.
Because I think it's a part of like the self doubt almost, like which I think is very important. I think that I have tons of self doubt in myself. That's like, but that also drives you to be better.
Right.
You know? If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be where I'm at. I think so.
Right.
I think that's a part of it though, because it's like you're thinking like I should. You know, it's like why. I would think of something like that, like, I need to work harder so that I can get that opportunity I'm not working hard enough or something.
Right.
Yeah, or did you even ask?
Yeah.
That's another – I mean, a lot of times it's just like, hey – there's an old mentality that's in, like, construction that I grew up around, which was like, if I'm good enough, my boss is going to give me a raise.
Right.
Yeah.
That mentality is dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're not really going to get a raise unless you say something or quit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with opportunities. It's like you can't just go and be like, why didn't that guy ask me? It's like, well, you didn't let him know you were available. You know? Or maybe. I don't know. You know, but for the most part, it's in my situation, I don't really like going to ask because I don't have time.
You're
going
to have to put yourself – you have to put yourself in front of people for them to even – remember that you exist.
Somebody who does a really good job of that is Chrissy Isles. Have you met?
Yeah. I love Chrissy.
Dude,
yeah.
She's awesome. She is diligent. A few times she's been like, hey, put me on anything you got. Yeah. I was like, well, I'm like booked for a little bit. I don't have anything. You know,
like continually say that.
Yeah, know? And she will. And in a nice way. She's not badgering.
Yeah,
she's like, hey, if you got anything, you know, or like another time she tagged me in Rough Tail Brewery.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, I ran out of these beers. Next time you have a show, let me know so I can get up there and do a set and I'm going to get some more of these beers.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
and I was like,
smart.
That's smart.
That's
like and I tagged him. I was like, yeah, what's up, Rough Tail?
Yeah.
Like Chrissy's trying to get some drink.
Yeah.
Like creating her own opportunities. It's like, well, see what happens.
Yeah, let it be known. No, I don't see any
that's
shame.
That's what
in
I think about with this thing, man. It's like, I was saying this last week on the podcast, but it's like, man, if it's like, if you want to be on the show, like, hit me up because you'll go to the top of the list.
Yeah.
Like, because there's tons of people that I want to reach out and I, you know, that we need to ask and try to get over here. But it's like, you know, and like half those people might not really care, but it's like, if you show, you know, put yourself in front of me, then I'm gonna be like, well, this person cares about this.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with shows. It's like, I think if you make yourself known that you care about, like Chrissy with Rough Tales, like she likes that place. She wants to be there, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. And she's a big fan of herself. I think that's a thing that you got to remember. Yeah. It's like, if you expect other people to be a fan of you,
you got to be a fan of you.
Mm-hmm. You got to be what you enjoy, you know, trying to like listen to your fucking self and be like, okay, this is, I'm going where I want to go. And if I'm not, I'm going to change it. You know, I'm going to do my art the way I want to do it.
There's this really great movie. It's called The Opening Act, and it's Cedric the Entertainer. Who is it? Neil Brennan's in it as well. And I can't remember what his name is, dude. He's an Asian comic, super funny.
I think I may know this because there's several like comedy movies similar. I'm sure, but I don't know if I've seen this one. But
this movie is so great,
yeah,
because it shows. Like the do's and don'ts of like when you work like a weekend at a comedy club. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just, it's going to show you like anything bad that could happen is going to happen in that movie. Nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of like Degrassi. Awesome. Yeah. Like anything bad that happens at a high school, it happened at that
Drake get out of his wheelchair?
Yeah. No, he did. He's not like us. but like there's a scene in that movie, like the guy he goes up and he just kind of bombs the first couple times. Like he like fucks up shit. Like he's like, oh no, I'm just not doing that great. And he goes and he has lunch with Cedric the Entertainer, who's like the headliner that he's opening for. And there's this line in there where he says, like, you're in this industry, you know, like you're always gonna be told no, you're gonna shows that you get booked on, you're gonna get fired on. He's like, you're going to see one of your friends that you think that you're funnier than, that's getting an opportunity that you think that you should have. That's always going to happen in this industry. He's like, but none of that matters. All that's going to happen is you have to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's it, guys. You just got to continue to believe in yourself, and things will happen.
What you need to know. Hell yeah, dude. Well, speaking of etiquette, I did have a couple questions just because I'm a little unclear about how that all works. But whenever you go into the green room, how do you, what's your etiquette, what's your go, like you see, you know, you, I mean, they do let you in the green room, right? Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they don't. I every headliner's let me in so far.
Okay, yeah. So what's your etiquette? What do you do?
The first thing I do is I get there before everyone else and I take a fat shit.
Show dominance, guys.
I assert my dominance in that green room.
Yeah.
What I kind of do is I'm always there, like, I'm always the first one there. So, and they come in, I'm like, hey, how's it going? I'm JJ. You know, like, is there any way that you want me to bring you up? I like to learn their credits, you know, just like, I like to do that. And then just kind of chill. I just kind of like feed off their energy a little bit. Cause sometimes they're like, man, I've been on a plane all day. I'm super tired.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just try not to like talk to them so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about like the green room is like a sacred place of like where you can just like chill and kind of like get your head right. Like, this is a good example. Last night I bartended and it was like fucking busy with a bunch of Tennessee fans. And it was just like, like chaotic. Yeah. Then I had to go right next door and host this hot wings eating contest. Mm-hmm. And everyone comes up to me like, da 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 da. And I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, I just need to, like.
Yeah, you need to decompress.
I need to decompress for a second. Mm-hmm. And Robin Williams always said, if you needed to decompress, the best way to do it, bathroom stall. Yeah. So I just went and decompressed. So I'm going off track here a little bit. Coffee's kicking in now, guys. Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go.
This podcast is going to be 4 more hours. no, but yeah, I just like just kind of feel the vibe and just. Don't ask too many questions is what I've learned, you know, like don't just like bombard them with shit and I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask if they need anything.
Yeah. You just have to
just be a good hang.
You just kind of have to like take, you know, don't, I think just hang back a little, kind of observe and kind of see how the vibe is.
You want to keep it positive in there, too. Like, don't go in there talking about, like, oh, man, like, my best friend's dog died. It's really sad. Like, I mean, like, don't say, like, weird shit like that. You know, because everyone's it just, like, you've been, like, in a room where, like, everyone's having a good time, and then one person just, like, says something, like, fucking outlandish, and you're like, fucking what? And it just, like, really just kills the mood of the room.
Yeah, I'm going to go outside.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm just going out here. Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, no, I love that. I love that. I have... I think I have this, the golden retriever energy. Yeah. So as soon as I meet people, I'll be like, "Oh, what's your name? What? You're a new friend, you know?"
Yeah.
And so I have to watch myself on that now, because it is. I mean, even before open mic at Bricktown, people are kind of like in their heads, they're kind of working on stuff, but I'm like,
I do that a lot, because I go to a lot of the comedy shows. Obviously, I'm there doing photos, and I don't think about it from that perspective. That like a lot of these people are like getting ready to go on. I've learned now not to like. I don't really try to bother anyone, or if especially if they look like they're like in their own head and trying to get ready.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll start having a conversation. I'm like, oh shit, I shouldn't probably be fucking with them. I was just like, I'm gonna go over here and talk to these people. But like some people aren't like that. They just don't care. They want to chat and hang out.
Well, that helps me. So it gets rid of my jitters. Yeah. If I'm joking around and we're talking shit, then it helps me a lot.
Well, honestly. It's like, especially in the green room, everyone wants to have fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when I was with Josh Blue was just a fucking good time in the green room, dude. All he was doing, he just had his little Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah,
we were listening to like the Gorillaz, dude. He was like dancing around, dude. It was just fun, dude. But every headliner is different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially like in between shows. You know, you do the first show. Afterwards, you do the meet and greet. So many people and stuff. And there's like, you go back and there's like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Where like, all right, well, we're all just going to calm down and just kind of be chill. You know, and get ready for the next show.
Reset.
You know?
Yeah.
When I worked at the nightclub for a couple of years, man, like, you have 4 hours of just, like, all that shit's going on. And then you're like, yeah, this is crazy. And lights come on, music's off, everyone's out, and then we just sat in silence. And it was so nice. Anytime like someone would like pull out like a Bluetooth speaker to start playing some more music, everyone would just scold them. Don't you do it.
We need the silence.
Yeah. Dude, I used to work in this little like smoke room spot, and then after we would get done, like clubs close, a couple bartenders come in, everyone would just sit there, we'd light up a joint, like, What's up? Good night? Yeah, cool. That's what we would do. And then, like, one girl that used to work with us would walk in and be like, man, you would not believe the night we had. Like, I don't give a fuck. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, we would snap on her, dude. Oh, you need that. You need that decompression time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah. Nice, man. All right. So, let's lay in this plane a little bit so you can get on back to your hustling.
Yeah, dude.
I'm interested in your writing process. What do you do? How do you go from thought to joke?
Man. It is constantly evolving.
Really?
Okay. That is the realest thing. Like, I sometimes, like, I want, like, I'll get in these, like, moods where I'm like, all right, I'm waking up at this time. And then between, like, this time frame, I'm going to write. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going to do this, or I'm going to work on this part. And I could do that for a minute, but at a certain point, I burn myself out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, I just, like, don't want to do that. Other times, man, it'll just come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll have like an idea that just like pops in. I walk a lot. I walk my dog a lot.
Yeah.
And that's where I do a lot of my writing, is I'll just like listen to old sets and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can make this better. Like add this tag or like cut this out. You know, that's like a good editing process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's such a hard question to answer, because I don't even know what my writing process is. I've kind of gotten to the point, like, I like to wake up and like get on X, pass through the buttholes, and find like some like current event thing, and just like kind of like write a joke like that,
to just kind of get just kind of get up.
It
like
just kind of warm it up a little bit, you know. But I really just try to like dive deeper into me, like what makes me stand out from any other comedian. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's
kind of your perspective.
Like what can I talk about like personally in my life? Like things that have happened in my life that I can connect with the audience on. Because like anyone can go up. There's a difference between a comic and a comedian. Like the comic is like someone who can like go up and just say anything about like current events.
Yeah.
But the problem with like when you do current event jokes, you're going to make this one, like, P. Diddy joke, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's over 1,000 other people that are making that exact same joke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it might be better or it might be worse. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why it's just I don't know. If you do, if I do a current event bit, I just like make it a clip and just like put it up, right, and I never do it again.
I think that if you do, I mean, I would think that you probably want to like make it, try to figure out how to make it your own, put your own perspective on something to only you could tell that joke or something. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes,
if you can.
Yeah. That's like the difference between like a comic and a comedian. Mm-hmm. And that's just from like books that I've read.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. I've never heard that.
So. Honestly, because, like, I mean, yeah, it's cool to, like, make those, like, current event jokes, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. There's nothing wrong with it by any means.
Yeah, I think it's good to even, because it helps you connect, and at least to initially make a joke like that to connect with
but
the
audience.
But
if that's, like, your entire, like,
act. Like Jay Leno.
Julie Drake told me this, really, really great story. And it was, she was hosting the shows back when she, like, first started. She was hosting a show, and there was a feature in the headliner, right? And the feature murdered, bro. She was like, he was so funny, like made people like fucking piss their pants. Mm-hmm. It was great. And then after the show, like everyone's doing the meet and greet, and everyone was coming up to her, and they're going to the headliner, but no one went up to the feature. And she's like, why? As headliner, like, why is that? And he's like, well, like, yeah, he was funny, but they couldn't connect with him like they connected with us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's, I don't know, man. It's like, who are you? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like you go up on stage, you're funny, you said some funny things that anyone can just make a meme of afterwards.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, like, what made you stand out? What makes the audience remember you more?
Yeah.
That's something that I've been searching for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's, like, there's some comics on TikTok, and, like, they're funny, but it irks my soul anytime that in every single one of their bits starts with this, have you guys heard or did you guys see?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done? And I'm like, fucking, you know what you should do? Take a bath in the toaster, motherfucker.
Just say it as a statement. You don't have to ask.
Yeah, you don't have to ask.
Yeah, and then put your perspective on it.
That's the thing. It's like when people like ask questions too much in their set, like it kind of like bugs me a little bit.
I do a little bit. So
But like there's ways to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do it to get a joke because I'll be like, you know, is anybody here a rescue?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's perfect. Yeah. I love that joke, by the way. That's a good joke. I like that joke.
That's a pretty good one, yeah.
Brother of adoption.
You're adopted too?
Yeah.
What's up? We're both wanted. You could say that to the other one, my other family.
But yeah, just answer the original question is the writing process is constantly evolving, man. I don't have like a set. Sometimes I'll just be like going to sleep and I'm like,
yeah,
and I'm like, oh, that's an idea, and I have to like get up and write it down real quick because if I go to sleep, I'm gonna forget it. I've had a lot of jokes that would have made me get on Netflix, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm gonna go have nightmares about Drake being my cousin again.
Yeah.
Instead, and I woke up, and now all I think about was I just had a nightmare about Drake being my cousin. And I forgot that joke. Yeah. Like shit.
I'm gonna write that down though. That's a pretty good one. Drake being my cousin. All right, last thing. What was I gonna say?
Wu Tang.
Wu Tang. Still relevant.
Oh, it's never not relevant, dude.
What do you got going on in the future? What's the plans? What is success to you?
Success, man. Honestly, I think I've already done it.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like when it comes down to it, like yes, I want to do bigger things. I want the Netflix special. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to sell out arenas. I want to do this stuff. I want to be one of the biggest comedians in the world. But at the end of the day, I'm happy where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I still get to fucking do comedy, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I still get booking emails. I still get asked to do shows. You know what I mean? You know, yeah, sometimes are they bar shows where, like, four people show up? Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I gave those four people the best I got.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, man. I'm very grateful for, as I said earlier, like, I'm grateful for everything that I've got going on, man. Like, you know, I got, you know, the podcast is going the most inconsistently or the most consistent, inconsistent podcast. Wait, I think you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm not as consistent with it. I need to get better about that.
But you've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah.
The clip's coming out funny, too. That's, like, the best part.
That's really just trying to gain that social media following as well. Mm-hmm. JJ with comedy. but yeah, I want to travel. I'm starting to travel a lot more. I think November 9th, I'll be in Grand Junction, Colorado. I'm headlining a show up there. Nice. And I'm real grateful for that because I've never been to Colorado.
Yeah.
And like, so comedy is like getting to take, comedy is taking me to places I've never been before.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm very grateful for that. You know, I've built up a really great network. I've worked with a lot of amazing comics that have already made it or up and comers and stuff. I'm doing a couple shows with Drew Nickens in November. He's the new Kill Tony regular.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I met him. I did a show with him in Dallas in March. And he was the sweetest dude. Like, he was so kind. He was so funny. And then I saw that he got on Kill Tony. And I don't know if you guys have seen his, like, first Kill Tony episode. But it's incredible. Nice. Like, I don't really watch that show, like, as much as religiously as other people. But he got up, he fucking killed it, and then they just like, you know what? We're going to keep bringing him back up. Anytime like someone sucked, they brought him back up, and he did another minute. And it was so cool. And I'm watching this. I'm watching this dude. And I'm like, God, I was so happy for that guy. And so then he had hit me up, and he asked me to do these shows with him. So I've got that. Let's see. Was it November 3rd? I'll be with Sean Fogelson. Who's the one mailman? He's a TikTok dude. He's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited about that. yeah, man. I mean, jjwoodcomedy.com is the best place to find all of my dates, you know? Yeah. So if you ever had those people that are like, hey, bro, hey, I'm actually going to make a sketch about this. But like, people are like, hey, man, personally text us and let us know when you have a show. Yeah. And I'm like, ah, that's cool, cool, cool. But, like, you know, I have a website, and now I post about it on my social media. They're like, yeah, but like, hey, man. Yeah. Personally message
me. Can you baby me?
Yeah. Will you just, hey, treat me like a five-year-old here, and then tell us when and where to be, okay?
Yeah.
And then we may or may not show up.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yo, that's crazy, okay? And they're like, yo, bro, y'all see, like, Lil Yachty's coming to town. And it's like, oh, that's crazy. You know Lil Yachty? He personally texted you and told you that he was coming to OKC. That's so crazy, bro. Fuck you.
Well, JJ, man, we really appreciate you, dude. Thank you so much for coming out here early in the morning.
Yeah, man.
And
it's definitely been like a long, you know, we definitely wanted to have you on forever. We haven't had guests in a while, so
yeah.
We're definitely happy you get to be our first guest back in the new podcast setup.
Starting off with a bang, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I love it, man. I love what you guys are doing, dude.
You too, man.
Keep doing it.
We're going to be doing this together for a long time.
Yeah. Damn right, baby.
Hell yeah. Friendship.
Friendship. Yay.
Thanks, guys. Check out JJ Wood at
JJ Wood Comedy. JJWoodComedy.com. I've got 83 fire subscribers on YouTube right now, guys. We can bump this up to 10,000 by the end of this episode. We're going to make this work. It's gonna happen. JJ Wood Comedy on all social media platforms. Watch the new segment between you, me, and this tree coming out whenever I can do it.
I like it.
That's good. Hey, and you're about to get the rhythm and wit bump, too. So don't worry. There's two people coming your way.
Is there fentanyl in it?
Not this time.
Not this time.
But you will get sleepy. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.